We often read about in the New Testament of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. We notice in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 6 that Jesus, in fact, warned his disciples about these Pharisees and Sadducees. Look at Matthew chapter 16 and verse 6. It says, "Then Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." So two things we want to look at this evening. Number one, who were the Pharisees and the Sadducees? And number two, why did Jesus tell his disciples to beware of their leaven? What did he mean by that? When you look up the word Pharisee, Strong's Concordance says the Pharisees were a sect that seems to have started after the Jewish exile. Strong's also says they sought for distinction and praise by outward observance of external rites and by outward forms of piety, such as ceremonial washings, feastings, prayers, and almsgiving. Strong goes on to say that they were negligent of genuine piety. In other words, they appeared to be one thing on the outside. They appeared to be righteous and good on the outside. But we'll see here in just a moment from what Jesus said about the Pharisees, we see that they were something much different on the inside in their hearts. We'll see that in just a moment. Strong's also made the comment that they prided themselves on their fancy good works. In other words, they like to be seen of men, and we'll look more at that in just a minute. So they were simply a religious political group known for their conservatism. They held to the law of Moses, and they also held fast to the traditions of elders. And we'll look at that just a little bit more as we get on into this evening. Mark chapter 7 tells us a little bit, gives an example of some of the traditions that they held to. Mark chapter 7, verse 1 says, "Then the Pharisees and some of the scribes came together to him, having come from Jerusalem. Now when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way, holding the tradition of the elders. When they came from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash, and there are many other things which they have received and hold, like the washing of cups, pitchers, copper vessels, and couches. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?" So these were some of the traditions that they held to. We'll come back to this in just a moment, but they held very fast. They were very meticulous in holding to these things and seeing that these things were done. Again, we'll come back to that in just a second. Strong's also makes the comment about the Pharisees. It says they were bitter enemies of Jesus and his cause, and they were in turn severely rebuked by him for their avarice or their greed, their ambitions. Ambitiousness, their hollow reliance on outward works and affection of piety in order to gain popularity. Again, that's a little bit about what Strong's has to say about the Pharisees. Let's notice a few things that Jesus said about the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15 and verse 12. It says, "Then his disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch." Jesus said here they were blind leaders of the blind. They relied upon their own righteousness, their own good works to be justified, and they led others through some of their teachings and some of their things that they believe these others astray, blind leaders of the blind. Flip back to Matthew 15 and verse 1. It tells how they made the commandments of God of no effect by their traditions. Matthew 15 and verse 1. It says, "Then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus, saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. He answered and said to them, Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor your father and mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, Whoever says to his father or mother, Whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God, then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. So the Pharisees here, and we looked at this, I think, a few lessons ago a little bit, but the Pharisees here disregarded God's command concerning their neglect of their fathers and mothers by holding to these traditions. Look again at verse 5. It says, But you say, Whoever says to his father or mother, Whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God. So again, they try to justify, if you will, the neglect of their parents by placing the importance of these traditions above the importance of God's commands. And Jesus said, in doing these things, the Pharisees were vain toward God. If you look at verse 7, Jesus said, Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. So Christ says they are hypocrites, teaching one thing and practicing another, that they teach commandments and doctrines of men. Flip over to Matthew 23. Matthew 23 and verse 1. Says, Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. For they bind heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. Flip over to verse 27. Says, Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Again, Jesus calls them here hypocrites. Outwardly appearing to be righteous, outwardly appearing to be one thing, but full of lawlessness on the inside, like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but on the inside full of grossness, full of dead man's bones, the scripture says here. That was what their inside, their heart was compared to. So the Pharisees were hypocrites. Also, as we mentioned earlier, the works that they did were to be seen by men, not necessarily done for the benefit of anybody else, but to be seen by men. You look at verse 5 of the same chapter. It says, But all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. Verse 6 says, They love the best places at the feast, the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. So they gave, they would adorn themselves and conduct themselves in such a way that they would make themselves look important, like they ought to be given credit just for the way that they would appear and the way that they acted. Jesus says that the Pharisees love to be esteemed highly. They love to be important, and they love this special treatment. They love the attention, if you will. Notice a couple other things that Jesus says. Verse 13. It says, But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. So it says here they are stumbling blocks for others. Not only did they themselves practice this lawlessness and hypocritical attitudes, but they discouraged others from receiving the entrance into the kingdom of heaven, becoming stumbling blocks to those who otherwise would come to repentance. The Pharisees were hypocrites. They sought self-esteem, and they were also stumbling blocks to others. Verse 14 says, Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore you will receive greater condemnation, so they extorted money from the helpless. They made an outward show of religion, making pretense, making these long prayers. It was an outward show. So you begin to see just how shallow they really were. You begin to see what their hearts revealed about them. We'll look at the heart here in just a minute. Our hearts' desire reveal a lot about us, doesn't it? Verse 15 says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves." Proselyte simply means here a new convert. And Jesus said that the Pharisees, through their doctrines and through their teaching and through their examples, made these new converts, these proselytes, worse than they were before. They made them worse. They didn't make them better. What does the Word of God do to us today? It ought to make us better. It ought to make us better than we were before we obey. Jesus said here the Pharisees made them worse. It wasn't because of lack of zeal. It says they would travel land and sea to win one proselyte, so zeal wasn't the problem. And we see a lot of examples of that today in many religions and churches. We see that they are zealous, but according to Romans 10 and verse 2, it was zeal without knowledge. It's something that is also very dangerous, that we can be so zealous. People can be so zealous on these doctrines and trick others and fool others. So the Pharisees held to commandments of the law, but they ignored, Jesus says, the weightier matters of the law, if you will. Verse 23 says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone." So they had neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. So that's who the Pharisees were. They would adhere to the law that they wanted to adhere to. They would ignore others. They used these traditions, ignored the weightier matters, things like justice and mercy and faith. They put on an outward show of religion. They sought after selfish gain. They sought after the praise of men. They were stumbling blocks to others, and yet in all they did, they claimed to be religious. They claimed to be haughty. They were arrogant. They were self-righteous. They were ambitious in all that they did. They possessed really all the qualities, when you go back and look at all that Jesus taught, they possessed all the qualities that were in direct opposition to all the things that Jesus taught. And perhaps that explains a little bit of why they were so hostile toward Jesus. He exposed them really for what they really were. He taught a new way, and it exposed them for what they really were. Verse 29. It says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous, and say, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Therefore you are witnesses against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets." That's really a good summation of what the Pharisees really were, professing the love of God and righteousness with their lips, but possessing the corrupt and defiled heart on the inside. And Jesus said in verse 31 that they were no better than their fathers who murdered the prophets. And so if you go back to Matthew 16, verse 6, where Jesus warned his disciples to beware the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he was warning them against these very things, against the very doctrines and the teachings and the examples. Drop down to Matthew chapter 16. Drop down to verse 11. It says, How is it you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees? Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of Pharisees and Sadducees. So they were to be aware and watchful, vigilant, if you will, not to fall prey to these doctrines, to these teachings, to these examples, that appeared on the outside to be godly and righteous, but on the when you got below the surface, they led to sin. They led to separation from God. And we see a lot of the same things today, don't we? Some of the things that we need to be watchful for that could lead us astray. We need to be watchful for these types of doctrines that appear to be one way on the surface, but when we get below the surface, we see that they're totally something else. We have those today that are similar today that to the Pharisees that are talked about in the Bible. Teaching the traditions of men instead of the commandments of God, or holding those traditions higher than the commandments of God. We see that. Teaching one thing and practicing another. We see, and Mark mentioned Joel Osteen a few weeks ago. And he was exactly right. He teaches that things that are leading people, I'm afraid, further away from God instead of drawing them closer. That's what the Word of God's meant to do, to draw us closer. And yet he uses religion for gain, to make money for himself, to tell other people, if you want to follow God, there's a benefit for you. And there is a benefit for us. We know that. But he compares it to financial benefit. Just like the Pharisees did. He's in it to receive money and the praise of men. Using just enough of God's word to kind of dress it up and make it sound right. To make it sound like something that we would find in the Bible, and a lot of stuff we do. And on the surface it seems good, but when you get below that you see the motive. You see the desire there. The desire that he appeals to man's desire of the flesh. But when you look at the core of these kind of doctrine, we see the weightier matters that Jesus talked about, the justice, the mercy, the faith. These type of things are ignored. You see that the doctrines that they really teach are hollow. They're empty. People like this seek to satisfy self first. Look at Matthew chapter 6. In verse 21, very common verse we use, says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." It tells us a lot about ourselves. Again, it can tell us a lot about others when we look at someone's treasures, the things that we seek after. It tells us a lot about what's in our heart, doesn't it? It kind of reveals a whole lot about us. It's something to think about. The Pharisees desired selfish gain and praise of men, and therefore we know what was in their heart. Jesus exposed them for what they really were. Mentioned also, back in Matthew 16, verse 6, Jesus mentioned also the Sadducees. It says, "Take heed and be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." Strong says the Sadducees were a religious party at the time of Christ among the Jews who denied that the oral law was a revelation of God to the Israelites and who deemed the written law alone to be obligatory on the nation as the divine authority. Strong goes on to say that the Sadducees denied the resurrection of the body, they denied the immortality of the soul, and they denied the existence of spirits and angels. In comparison to the Pharisees, the Sadducees were a much more liberal group. The Pharisees more conservative, the Sadducees more liberal. That's how they were known back then. And again, we see that Jesus tells us and reveals us to us a lot, again, about the Sadducees, when you look at Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22 and verse 23. Says, "The same day the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him and asked him, saying, 'Teacher, Moses said that if a man dies having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were with us seven brothers. The first died after he had married, and having no offspring, left his wife to his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third even to the seventh. Last of all the woman died also. Therefore in the resurrection, whose wife of the seven will she be? For they all had her.' Jesus answered and said to them, 'You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God.'" So we know it's in verse 29 that Jesus there points out two faults of the Sadducees, doesn't he? Number one, he points out that they did not know the Scriptures. Number two, it says that they did not know the power of God. And we see in verses 31 and 32 the wisdom there that Jesus uses as he answers the Sadducees' question using a passage from the Pentateuch, which the Sadducees, oddly enough, did believe. They did accept that. Notice how Jesus answered them in Matthew 22 and verse 31. It says, "But concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living." So Jesus here is quoting, if you go back, Exodus chapter 3 and verse 6. And here he attacks the Sadducees' belief that they don't believe that there is a resurrection by using a scripture that they did accept. And he relates here the eternal I am of God to the patriarchs. And he says that they are of the living. Even though physically dead, God is still their God. This answer baffled, it astonished the Sadducees. Look at verse 33. It says, "And when the multitudes heard this, they were astonished at his teaching. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together." So his wisdom and how he dealt with this astonished them, and it silenced those that disputed with him. Again, much like the Pharisees, I think we can learn a lot from the example of the Sadducees for today as well. We face a lot of the same dangers. There are those today that teach without knowledge of the Scripture. We have those that will take portions of God's Word and they'll teach that as truth. They'll leave out a portion here or a portion there. Whether they do it knowingly or unknowingly, they're teaching just a little bit here and a little bit there. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 37, "If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord." So we must realize that the writings and the teachings found in the Bible are from God. There are those today who simply won't follow the teachings of the Bible because they say that they are teachings of men. They deny that the Bible was anything but men writing. They deny the power of God, that it was written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And in doing so, they're denying the power of God, such as the Sadducees did. Paul says that what he wrote were the commandments of God. They are the commandments of God that we find in Scripture today. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. It says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Our responsibility is to accept and to follow all Scripture, because we know all Scripture is given from inspiration of God. And so to our best of our ability, that's what we need to adhere to. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 16. It says, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to Him from the excellent glory. This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with Him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in the dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of men, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." So we know that the Word of God recorded in the Bible for us did come from God. It didn't come from the will of man. It wasn't anything men thought of. And again, we have that responsibility to learn God's word and then to adhere to it. That's a responsibility that we have, to guard against these false teaching and these sinful ways. We know that according to Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13, our duty is to fear God and to keep His commandments. That's a duty that we have. And it's to follow His commandments in fullness and in completeness, not taking just a page here or a page there. We take it as a whole. One final point, and we'll wrap this up. Jesus told the Sadducees back in Matthew 22 that they did not know the power of God. And again, those today that likewise deny the power of God, they argue that if we can't comprehend something, or if something can't be rationalized, if we can't make it make sense according to our wisdom, if it can't be proven by man's wisdom, then it must not be true. They try, based on their own wisdom, to disprove the existence of God and the whole plan that God devised in the Bible. They'll take their own wisdom and try to disprove this type of thing. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 18. It says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has God not made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For the doctrine of many, the teachings of many, is to deny the message of the cross. And when they do that, they deny the very power of God. They deny His very power to save men from their sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14 says, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Sadly, today there are many that are not spiritually minded. They believe and they teach only those things that the natural or the carnal mind can understand. We see it on our college campuses. I know I had a college professor that did the same. But in his teachings to his class, he sought to disprove that there was a God, the very existence of God. And you take a lot of young minds and you take a college professor that's been at it for 50 years, he probably has some pretty persuasive arguments. And so it's easy, when we're not deeply rooted in God's Word, we can be tricked by these things. And these are the things that we need to guard against. Jesus said back in Matthew 16 and verse 6, to beware the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. That same responsibility that we have today, to be aware of these false doctrines and these dangers that they present, the teachings that would, again, try to draw us away from God instead of draw us closer to Him. These are the things that we need to be aware of even today. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, "But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber." Again, there are doctrines and false teachers that we need to be vigilant for, to watch after. And we realize that if these false doctrines, if this sinful behavior, the acceptance of that is allowed into our hearts. Even if it's just the smallest minute thing that we can think of as so insignificant. Jesus compares that to leaven in a lump. And we know what's said about leaven in bread, just a little bit. Just a little bit can leaven the whole lump. So these are the things that we need to be aware of. Even the smallest things that we let in can lead to much more destructive things. False teaching and sin act as leaven in the heart of man if we let those things in. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and we'll close with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul here is dealing with a man in the church at Corinth committing sexual immorality. We've talked about this in a few lessons. But we notice Paul's instruction to the people there at Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 6 says, Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, since you truly are leavened, unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. It's a similar warning that Jesus gave to his disciples back in Matthew chapter 16, to be aware of false teaching, to be aware of sin that can enter in, that little bit of leaven that can corrupt the whole lump. But we need to follow God in sincerity and in truth. It's good instruction again for us today that we must be ever vigilant, ever watchful for these type of false teachers and this type of sin that we can let enter in. It's dangerous for the individual to let that enter your heart and for the church as well. And we did a lesson about unity, and we know when these things are let in and they go and they're not dealt with, we see that unity can be disrupted also in the Lord's church. That's the lesson for this evening. If you're here this evening and you've never obeyed the gospel, you have now an opportunity to do that. If you have obeyed, but for some reason you've fallen away, you have a chance this evening to make that right as together we stand and sing.
Come to Jesus, He will save.